Order.
Test 1-2, Mr. Speaker.
The Minister for Economic Development, Stephen Joyce, checking his handheld mic after the sound system in the debating chamber went on the fritz on Wednesday.
Honourable members, I've just been alerted that there is a problem with the microphones. The Prime Minister's microphone, my microphone and the Leader of the Opposition's microphones are working. They are proceeding to fix it as quickly as possible, but you may need to resort to handheld mics which will be delivered by the messengers.
The Speaker, David Carter, informing MPs of the problem at the start of Wednesday's sitting, while Assistant Speaker Ross Robertson was still having to coach some MPs on microphone technique later in the afternoon.
You just need to keep talking and they'll bring it on, but don't play with the microphone. Hold it up to your mouth and just keep talking. That's the instructions we've been given by the technician.
The sound system was fixed in time for Lockwood Smith to bid farewell to the chamber before dinner on Wednesday. Reflecting on his 28 years as an MP, 9 as a National Cabinet Minister and 4 as Speaker.
In a long political career, if there are successes, there are also some failures. I had a bill in the ballot for private members' bills for at least 6 years. The Land Transport Left-Hand Law Amendment Bill languished forever, whilst I watched some members have their bills drawn out within weeks. I must have been jinxed.
Like the sound system, Lockwood Smith's valedictory before leaving to become High Commissioner in London followed the conclusion of the 15-hour debate on the Prime Minister's statement. That ended in a vote on the motion that the House express its confidence in John Key's National-led minority government. An amendment from former New Zealand First MP Brendan Horan was dismissed without a vote, and another from current New Zealand First MP Andrew Williams was defeated by 79 votes to 41, only Labour supporting it. Then the final confidence vote saw the House divide along the usual lines, with National, the Māori Party Act and United Future combining to defeat all other parties by 64 votes to 56. The government's decision on Tuesday to park the opening statement debate with an hour to go, so as to make progress on 3 bills, saved it the hassle of having a political free-for-all in the form of a general debate on Wednesday, while David Carter ruled on his first request for a snap debate on Tuesday.
Members, I've received a letter from Brendan Horan and Materia Ture seeking to debate Understanding Order 386, the government's announcement of a ministerial inquiry into the NovaPay payroll system used by the Minister of Education to pay teaching and support staff.
While the topic might qualify for an urgent debate, Mr. Carter ruled that it lacked immediacy.
I'm not persuaded that setting aside the business of the House for an urgent debate can be justified today.
And the opposition used question time to wring this admission from Education Minister Hekia Parada.
Clearly, with hindsight, the decision in respect of NovaPay wasn't the best decision, and it has created incredible problems for everyone.
Hekia Parada had a novel method for preventing another disaster.
We believe in belting and bracing the system, and that means that we need to 2,400 more children in ECE this year. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hekia Parata was not alone this week in creative use of language.
In my opinion, Australia has a much greater capacity to disinterrupt and ensure that boats actually don't leave disruption. And thirdly, gives us the optionality to send mass arrivals.
While Prime Minister John Key was inventing new words, his Economic Development Minister Stephen Joyce was giving old ones new meaning.
Mr. Speaker, the member is being incredibly disingenuous.
Did he mean to say disingenuous? Well, the Speaker was clearly thinking of someone completely different when addressing Green List MP Gareth Hughes.
I don't accept that point from you, Mr. Gareth Morgan.
Although he's not an MP, Gareth Morgan would have seen a cat among the pigeons when the Chief Ombudsman, Beverly Wakeham, made a submission to the Education and Science Select Committee on Wednesday morning, protesting at the proposed exemption of charter schools from the provisions of the Official Information Act.
We believe it is a constitutional anomaly. Historically, state-funded agencies, particularly those which operate under a statutory regime, have been subject to these acts. And the application of both regimes certainly ensures that state-funded agencies are accountable to the taxpayer for the expenditure of government funds.
The Minister in charge of the Education Amendment Bill setting up charter schools is ACT leader John Banks. Next day, he faced this question from Labour's Grant Robertson.
Is the Minister's own experience of withholding his witness statement
in the Kim.com affair around donations to his mayoral campaign, influencing his decision that charter schools should not be held accountable under the OIA?
No, no.
And if there's any part of no, no that you don't understand, there's bound to be more on that next week when Parliament resumes at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.